I must admit, this is not going as smoothly as I'd hoped. I suppose I should have listened a little more carefully when people were mentioning how vast this place is. Fasaf better have been paying attention. I can't be expected to do everything after all. I've managed to get us in. I've managed to get us away past the flames. It's been greatly frustrating, having so many so-called allies only helping us so they can get something in return. Does no one just do things because it's the right thing to do? Okay, I admit perhaps aiding this fire rack isn't a good thing. But well, such treasures should not just be left to rot in some vaults. They should be out in the world for all to see, all to admire. Well, at least we've got in. These tunnels, though, are most unpleasant. But I feel confident we can deal with any beasts we encounter. Attila can just kill it, after all. Unless, of course, it's something unkillable. I guess then we just run. This is Red Moon Roleplaying.
It's perhaps just as well that you had faith in your, well, almost god, Titan. Because the drop isn't nearly as deep as it could have potentially been. It's about 15 feet down, and thankfully, 5 feet down, you connect with liquid. So there's a 6 splash as you jump, and those of you climbing down find your feet dangling in liquid. To your immense satisfaction, those of you who jumped in find that spell that Usborne cast is still in effect. So when you go under, you can breathe. And when you emerge, you can breathe. But you are wet this time. You can hear the mewling, chattering and champing of the tunnel up above, but it doesn't appear to be entering this chamber.
I feel a chill going down my back as I that we start making our way down on this side. That was awful. That was worse than anything I've ever seen, I think. And I feel a bit shook up and exalted at the same time as I come down to the rest of you.
Fasaf, are you alive? Where are you, you fool?
I'm here. Okay. That was more than I had expected. I'm cursing myself for thinking that this would be easy. That was my first instinct as we were entering. But no, this is anything but, and we've just entered this place. Mormo, I fall into prayer. And I find myself ignoring Kadar as he's trying to speak to me.
I start looking around this chamber. What do we see except the liquid and the walls?
The chamber is oddly shaped. Again, as your eyes adjust to this darkness and the colour of the water is a briny, yellowy green, and there's an acrid smell from it. The chamber itself is shaped like a star, with points in every corner. There is, perhaps, a mercy from up above, a doorway, clearly made by a humanoid for someone of humanoid size, at the top of steps that lead out of this rather rancid bathing chamber. You're not entirely certain whether this water is for bathing, however. As looking up above and taking in the rest of the room, you can see various drainage outlets.
Right, let's get out of the water, head to the door, and then once we're on the other side, we can reassess and have maybe a quick rest, because I need it. I'm very out of breath.
Well, that looks more made by someone than anything else. So yeah, I think that could be the right way. Let's go.
Predictably, the door is locked.
Okay, Fasaf, you're up.
And I bring out the tools that I have, my thieves' tools, and I... Is there a lock mechanism here, or is it some kind of larger mechanical lock that we're dealing with here?
There is a lock mechanism. It's seems quite arcane to you. Not in the sense that it's magical, in the sense that it's old and mysterious. Quite the challenge, even for someone such as you.
All right, well, I go to work. What would I be rolling for? Is it stealth, or is it... what does lockpicking fall under?
I believe it would fall under sleight of hand, and we'll go for dexterity in that case.
Right, so I have a plus a 7 there, so I shall roll for that.
You should do all right.
I get 25.
25? There's a series of clicks and a crunch as the door becomes unlocked. A very impressive display there from Asath.
And I'm just jumping and jubilantly, Mormo, you listened! Come, come!
I think to myself that yes, that's probably not a door that's being used that much. And I... yeah, I suppose I get off Klarzek at this point. Is he wide enough? I mean, can he fit through here?
He can. Yeah, he can make himself very flexible.
Yes, indeed. He's as much a contortionist as I am. But I'm getting off anyways, and I start moving in. Probably leading the way at this point. Unless, of course, you, Thishath, as you open the door, start moving in first.
Seeing that you are sort of moving forward as well, I point towards the open door. Of course... It is much better to have a skilled fighter going first rather than myself. I am not that eager to die here.
The way forward is down a, again, thankfully humanoid-made tunnel. This one is more of a corridor. It's stone, flagstone flooring, and hewn stone walls. With symbols and arches carved into them. Almost like a cathedral. Again, there's no light down here, but there continues to remain a small, or slight, I should say, there continues to remain a slight ambient glow, this time from the drainage and sewage runoff. Everything's bathed in a sickly green for as long as you keep the door open.
All right. This is promising. We're in actual tunnels now. We just need to reorientate ourselves and be careful. We might find some guards, but ideally, one or two guards might not be an issue. But be careful, everyone, and be quiet. Quiet. Shh, shh, shh.
And so I do move forward quietly as I can. And trying to, get a grip on what we are moving towards.
You can see that this part of the fortress hasn't been walked within for years, probably. There's no dust, there's just a smell of age and antiquity down here. So as if when you open that door, it's almost a stronger odour than was emerging from the acrid sewage. You step tentatively within, creeping stealthily. No rolls required as you're taking your time. You notice quite clearly on the walls, next to all these symbols that mark out Titans, Titan spawn, the deeds of Titans, written, scrawled even, in what at first might look like paint, but is quite clearly, at closer examination, blood. So you see words scrawled on the walls in the common tongue.
What do they say?
Enter this way and surely die. Your sacrifice to Golthaga is greatly appreciated and deserved. For every body that fills his stomach, Golthaga grows stronger. For every body that fills his stomach, Golthaga grows closer to waking.
Do we get an indication where they are meant? Are they meant towards where we came from or where we are headed?
There's no arrows, unfortunately. But these phrases are repeated over and over again like a mantra, a prayer.
Wait a minute. If it was the way we came... No.
What? I start trying to remember. What sort of titan was Golfaga in his prime?
The Forge.
So he wouldn't really have been a slimy creature. Not really.
No, not from what mythology you know of him. By all means, you can do an intelligence roll.
I will. I will do a history check. 14.
14. No, all memory you have of the deeds of Golfaga and his servants was mostly of pollution, of smoke, of smog, of metal. And as you advance down this corridor, you see more and more of that as those stone arches start to be coated with strips of iron that are bolted in. And if you spend even a little while examining them, you can't see any tool marks. It's as if the iron has grown out of the stone. As if the ore itself has shaped itself to line this corridor. And as you go further and further, and you think you have oriented yourself now based on the map, you're fairly certain you know where you are. You're seeing this entire citadel appears to have this metallic coating to it.
You know, friends, I'm starting to wonder if the story of it being built on Golfaga is not a story after all. But why would they... You don't think they actually built the fortress to feed Golfaga? Why would they write that sort of thing if they are supposed to be guarding this titan?
Well, I don't know. The question is, why would people be coming this way? Why would people write warnings? You know, how many people do ever pass by here?
I scratch my chin a little. I don't really know. I remark,
me and Fasaf have recovered artifacts from a few other places before. People do like to write warnings, curses, dire traps. This one's a bit confusing because it seems to expect people to come this way in the first place.
Why would they come from the outside like we have, through the water? I mean, surely what we went through, that seemed like the intestines of something. The smell of that liquid was like someone had thrown up.
Dredd, you're being awfully quiet. What do you think? Is this an obvious trap to distract from the fact that this is the right way to go? Or is it actually a tunnel that leads to your death?
I would really rather not be here, I've got to be honest. I've never been through anything quite like that before. Feels like I've just been crawling through a creature's guts.
Well, to be honest, you've come this far, and I'm not entirely sure we now actually have an exit route.
No, that's what's worrying me. I've got to hold my hands up, lads. I think it might have been my hammer in those pegs into the stone that woke that thing up.
Ugh. Well, if you hadn't put the rope in the first place, Attila probably would have just been eaten.
Well, I don't know. Doesn't matter now, does it?
Well, my thinking is this. If we keep going on in this direction, my guess is we're going to hit this vault. Judging from what you're saying about the map. Now, let's assume they've got some kind of guardian down there, because anyone with half a brain would put a guardian in the vault. Let's say we take that guardian out, and none of us die in the doing. We claim the treasure we're here for, and like you say, then the problem is exit strategy.
I guess we'll just have to deal with it when we deal with it then. There must be...
No. You know what they always told me? Huh? Is... always have an exit strategy. Don't try leaving by the seat of your pants, because that'll never work out. And What they also always told me was never try exiting the Citadel of Vilheim without a plan.
Well, they told you a lot of good things, didn't they?
Very specific.
How about if you... Probably this thing calmed down after a while, after it didn't get us. I'll say if nothing else presents itself, we'll have to go back this way anyways.
Oh, God.
Well, yeah, like I said, something could present itself. There could be other ways that you if it's shown that the only way upwards is upwards, then that's what we have to do.
Gods and titans both. No, you're probably right. I mean, if... We'll have to come back this way, you're right. If that tunnel was still chewing and champing, then we're going to have to try and make our way out through the fortress itself. And throw caution to the wind. Don't know how we're going to manage it, but might be all we can do. We can't stay down here for the rest of our lives.
As we go through the treasures, then, let's keep our eyes open for anything that can, I don't know, cause mass destruction. You know, something that spouts fire or the like. Maybe that will just get these chomping heads scared off.
Or, you know, a very handy portal spell. That would be nice to find.
Let's not hope for too much now.
I feel a little... I don't want to stay too much in one spot, considering what just happened. I feel restless, and I keep moving forward.
I frown a little, because I would like a short rest myself, but if no one else is going to...
Don't forget, we've got under an hour before this spell runs out.
Yes, that's true. All right, then. Let's keep going. Keep going.
Yes.
The iron in that's coating the walls is taking increasingly more vicious shapes. Occasionally, you're passing staircases that head upward towards doorways, but judging from your recollection of the map, that would probably lead you, at least at some point, further up into the Citadel proper. There's likely a reason there are no guards patrolling this area, and it's either because it's out of bounds or there's something far worse than guards down here. You keep heading in the direction of where you believe the vault to be. And those shapes in the walls that are becoming increasingly vicious start to take the shapes of, well, for want of a better term, devils constructed from iron. Constructs formed out of the walls like suits of armor, each holding two iron scythes in their hands, each seeming ready to pounce.
I move warily at this. I'm looking for anything that might activate them that is around me.
Good thinking. Do a wisdom roll, please.
7.
No. It could be motion, there could be something in the floor that would trigger them. If indeed they are anything more than simple sculptures, you're not sure.
I say, I don't trust these things. I wonder if we're safe. I don't see anything that indicates they would start moving, but they do look menacing.
Fasaf, do you see any possible trap mechanisms?
I myself start looking for any arcane sigils or signs of magical activations that could maybe make these things come to life.
I shall have a look as well, perhaps with perception, to see if I can catch anything.
Yeah, go for it.
And I'll roll Arcana.
Natural 20, 24 total.
18.
Impressive from you both. You are almost definitely certain there's some kind of motion detection going on here. You think, and in fact you know, because on a natural 20, you have encountered this kind of device before. You've read about it, or you've heard about it, or you have literally ran across this kind of trap before. You know that passing within the swiping range of one of these scythes will result in the scythe swiping and cutting towards you. and the only way you can avoid waking these iron devils up is by passing outside the range of their scythes. So that may require at points you crawling on your bellies past them. At others, other times, it will require you to have your back against the opposite wall as you shuffle along. All of these things will take time, but you're certain that it will prevent these creatures from waking from their slumber.
Realizing that, I tell that to my compatriots. There's a way through here, but we have to move just right, avoiding the swipes of these scythes that they're carrying. I'll take the lead. I'll show you.
Yes, yes, you go first, Vasatha. Very good, very good. Yes, yes, you see, you've encountered this sort of trap before.
Yes, and I sort of point with one finger to my head. Yes, yes, and I know that Mormu is going to protect me. And I begin moving forward.
I don't feel very convinced. Maybe he's making this up on the spot, but we don't have much time either. But since I know these fellas had worked together before, I'll follow what they do, and I try to lead Klarzik as well, as carefully as I can, to make sure that he stays out of them as well.
Your lizard mount, you're fairly certain, is going to have to remain at the other end of this corridor. He's not going to be able to travel with that much domesticated subtlety as to not trigger these things.
Oh, I don't like that.
He doesn't like it much either, but...
I turn to him and I say,
if you see anything, then make noise. If anything threatens you, make noise or just... Yeah, let me know.
He chirps with his tongue, lowers his head in obedience, and waits for you to return.
And then after the rest of the party, I take the... How do you say? I go last.
The corridor finally comes to an end, and you reach a vast chamber with no door, but it looks like a great workshop. Anvils, hammers, but none that you would consider workable. It's almost like a museum or art installation to an extent. These anvils are too large, these hammers are too big for anything you've ever met to wield, other than perhaps a giant of some kind. But even then, everything here is wrought of iron. It's not a functional workshop that you can tell. There's a great heat coming from the corridor at the other end of this chamber.
Heat. Maybe we're getting near the fire.
The furnace. And I continue moving us in that direction.
Do a wisdom roll, please.
Just straight wisdom, or should I do a perception?
Perception, please.
Then I get 18.
You're about to step forward, and a bit like someone who's just put their foot on a mine, you realise that the tile in front of you is slightly depressed, and you hold back, looking across this hallway. With your great success, you are able to see that a number of the tiles here are uneven. There is no way that was unintentional in its design.
Well, Vasatha, what's the holdup? Why have you stopped?
There's something here. A trap of some kind. I think I move away my foot slowly. Is there any way around this depressed tile or somehow?
There's plenty of tiles that are not depressed.
So we could take strides over them.
You could, if the ones that are elevated are the safe ones.
Then I shall very carefully then try to move forward and try to sort of check the tiles if they are moving as I poke at them with something. I have my dagger. I have my sword also with me. I try to put some weight just to see if they're moving, and then take sort of one step at a time, kind of like when you're moving through a minefield. You're checking ahead to see if you feel anything.
So just to clarify, are you pushing down on one of these tiles to see what happens?
pushing at the ones that are not depressed, the ones that look safe, but just to ensure that they truly are safe, I push them first.
You go slowly, very slowly, checking every single tile. Your companions, fairly close behind, because they don't want to lose track of the tiles on which you are stepping. It's incredibly tense, whether you keep your footing. Make a dexterity roll, please.
17.
You manage it. At one point, just the concentration, just the tension alone makes you sway a little. Perhaps it's the heat from the opposite end of the room. But you manage it. You get to the other end. No traps, monsters, or spells trigger.
I breathe out, and I feel a little bit safe, and I motion towards my friends to follow, and to follow exactly my path.
All right, yes, and very slowly, I will nimbly try and copy the exact path he did.
Used to working alone, I'm a bit surprised how efficient it could be to work in a competent team like this. If indeed these things that we have avoided so far would have been things that got us into trouble, and I follow as well.
Dread close behind. At the opposite end of this chamber, there is a great furnace. Unlike the room around it, which is almost entirely made of iron, the furnace is of brass, or seems to be. It isn't lit, but the heat from it is definitely there. It seems to be emitting an intense, skin-blasting temperature. But you can't see any flames.
Is this the way forward? I look around. Do we have to basically walk past this furnace or walk into the furnace?
There are no other doors in this chamber. It is an empty furnace. It's a furnace you could comfortably crawl into if the heat inside it wasn't so unbearably intense.
So it doesn't look hot, but it just feels very hot.
Yes, it would be the equivalent of entering the atmosphere of Venus.
Wow.
And this is the only way forward, correct? This is the furnace that was referred to before. It must be.
Sure. It must.
Doesn't make any sense, though. Where's the...
I peer forward, seeing if I can determine if this is some sort of magical illusion.
You think that this is entirely real? And there is magic here, in the permanent heat. This is a furnace that can be used, for all intents and purposes, as if the flame was there, but not requiring the ingredients that a furnace typically would. The heat is just permanent. Much like that bubble that you passed through before, which may well have been some portal to another plane, this could be the same kind of thing. This could be a portal straight to some elemental plane of fire. It doesn't need the fire there to emit the heat.
This might be the Wall of Flame. Although, I suppose it turns out it's not actually a Wall of Flame. It's just the heat itself.
I'm moving behind. Where is Dredd has also made his way across, yes?
He has indeed.
Yes, so I'm sort of moving casually around, making it look as if I'm sort of looking around the walls, trying to see if I can find something out. But what I'm actually trying to do is I'm maneuvering to get behind Dredd.
I kind of give Dredd a look, and look forwards, and I say very conversationally,
"So, Dredd, I don't suppose you can summon things, can you? Like, I don't know, little goblins or humanoid creatures?"
I can summon a fiend, if that's what you're thinking. Why?
I kind of draw out a very long, "Well, you see, I'm thinking in my mind, a fiend would be a very ill-suited thing to try and skin, because it's probably going to try and defend itself, wouldn't it?"
Yeah, I don't think I could summon anything alive that's not going to try and defend itself.
Yes. "Well, never mind, it was just a passing thought, you see," and I start sort of just gesturing to the furnace, and giving Attila and Fasaf just a look as I kind of just start going on about something that doesn't really seem to have anything to do with our current situation.
And taking that as my cue, I move to cut the throat of Dredd.
I think you've got him by surprise, so that means you get a free hit on him. So go for it.
So I'm rolling to hit first, and I get 16.
16? Yes, you do definitely hit.
And then the damage is... And the damage is 14.
14. Your blade cuts into Dredd's throat. For the fact that this was a surprise attack and you did such an amazing amount of damage with a dagger alone, your blade slices across his skin and pierces one of the many veins within. He whirls around, choking out a word. He's clearly trying to incant something swiftly to defend himself. But the words will not come out because you have effectively cut his throat. While one hand is clasped to his neck, the other one goes for a stick that is attached to his belt.
I see this, and I'm going to whip out my tail and try just to hold his hand and let him bleed out and push him down to the ground with my foot.
And seeing this all happen, I kind of just blink, rush forward, and use my action to summon my flaming rapier, my weapon given to me by my dear Afriti Sultan, which appears in my hand instantly, and hopefully I'm going to try and drive it through him.
It is impossible for Dredd to defend himself against this blow. The blade pierces him, his heart, extinguishing his life with the flame on your blade.
I withdraw the blade in one smooth motion, unsummoning it as it vanishes back to the ether. And I let a few seconds pass as I say,
"That was unfortunate."
I feel a little bad now, actually. I didn't expect that I would feel bad about killing him, but I do. Well, what's done is done.
I just shrug and say,
"Well, he was a tool, wasn't he? Now what's this purpose of this?"
Well, all right. Attila, you're up. I throw him my dagger. Would you mind skinning him? Does it need to be a good job? I just need to wear him.
I catch the knife in my hand and I raise an eyebrow of the one eye that I have. You see a hint of drool running down from my mouth, and I say, "I'm not a hunter. Skin him yourself." And I throw it back to him.
"But I've never skinned anything."
"Well, neither did I. Why would I skin something? That's sick."
"Well, you drive the blade in using your amazing strength, and then you just carve the flesh off like you're making dinner or something."
I shrug, looking at him, and start taking his clothes off.
"I can undress him, but you better bloody well skin him."
"Well, all right, you loot him. Fasaf, you're up."
"Don't worry, Kadar. I've got this one,"
I say, and I get on it. I get on with this bloody business.
Well, I take out my dagger. I'm not necessarily that skilled at this, but I think I have skinned some small animals. This is just a bigger one. And I was the one who did it, after all. I feel a sense of responsibility here. I kind of like the man, actually. And his sacrifice must not be in vain. Mormo wouldn't have that, I think to myself as I begin slowly cutting the skin off. And I try to use the same logic as one would use when one is skinning an animal. One has caught and is preparing for cooking. It is not a fellow Asathi, so on some level, it feels, yes, not that strange, actually. It's
it's a different... it's an intelligent creature, certainly, but it is another creature. It is not one of us. And I do that, and I have a bloody face already from the cut that I did towards the throat when the blood splattered on me. And yes, I suppose what do the two of you think as you see me doing this, as you see me going to work, and you hear me mentioning the name of Mormo on and off as if I'm recanting some kind of prayer.
I simply take this time to give myself a short rest. After all, it probably takes you longer than 5 to 10 minutes to skin this poor man. I don't watch you at all. All my attention is on the furnace as I sit, focusing on the spell I will soon have to cast.
After having helped undressing Dredd, I don't feel too bad about this. I'm more worried about Klarzek at this point. I'm sitting back and I produce a little flask. Looks like something that might be holding a bit of liquor. And I sit back and sip it, watching this spectacle in front of me.
And once the skin is laid on the floor in pieces, thick, thin, intact, and not, which one of you is going to scoop them all up to feed them into the furnace whilst wearing them? I believe that is going to be the warlock, is it not?
Indeed. And I will take a moment, look at the skin, remove my robes, revealing my frail frame underneath, with quite a few burn scars you would notice. None of them too severe, but it does seem as if I have been burned quite a few times in the past. And I kind of take a deep breath, remarking, not really looking forward to this. And I try my best to place the skin upon my person. He was probably a lot taller and bigger than me, so there's actually probably, even with the mess, quite a lot of skin left. And it might take some time, and I'll get Fasaf to assist me. But I almost am able to heap it all over my arms, my legs, wrap a bit around my chest, and finally blob a load on my head. And I am now covered in human bloody skin.
There is something immensely satisfying to a snake to be wearing the skin of a man. When so many highborn lords decide they're going to wear reptile skin. But, that morbid nature aside, are you going to step into the furnace now that you wear your ragman cloak?
I shall, but before I do, I extend my iron rod before me and intone, Master of the Brass City. Master! Of the great furnaces of this world, King, Sultan, Afriti, your offering is ready. Your humble servant obeys. And I shall start walking forward.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we play the adventure, The Great Vilheim Heist, for Scarred Lands, for Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. Our Dungeon Master was the Gentleman Gamer, Matthew Dawkins, and we would like to thank him and Onyx Path Publishing for doing this actual play production together with us. The music was made by Eger Sonus and Lesa Listvi, and was used with permission from their label, Cryo Chamber. You can find more delicious dark ambient at cryochamber.bandcamp.com or their YouTube channel. If you want to support Red Moon Roleplaying, do check out our Patreon. The show would not be possible without all the generous support we are getting there. You give us so much energy, help us cover our costs, and open up time to record and edit. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And remember, praise Mormo.